Purdy's out maybe for a full year with Tommy John. Garoppolo's gone. Trey Lance has just been so injured and he's so raw that they got a great team, but the quarterback position's a mess. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a man that's very familiar with the Bay Area and the Niners. He's the former head coach out in San Fran, former Broncos DC as well. Now you see him on the NFL Network. Here is Mike Nolan. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Do you have any sympathy, though, for Kyle Shanahan and this quarterbacking situation, considering all the injuries that they're dealing with and the uncertainty moving forward with the Niners?
Well, I wouldn't call it sympathy, but certainly what happened in the Super Bowl was a shame. I was kind of excited to watch the young guy play a little bit. So, but going forward, you know, heck, it's a good problem to have a bunch of quarterbacks. But as Tom Landry used to say, you never have all ones. You got all twos if you have a bunch of guys. So they got a bunch of twos, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it? And, you know, Tom Brady's not going to be the answer. Aaron Rodgers said, you know, today at Pebble Beach, he's not going there. So I guess it's Trey Lance, you know, and if it is Trey Lance, they traded up for him, right? Like at the draft, there's something they saw in him that made them believe he can be the guy.
Yeah, from what I saw a year ago, he has some developing to do without question. And I think that the young guy that came on this year that at the end of the season, he's gonna give him some good competition for that job now. And then again, you got Garoppolo. So you got, as you've already mentioned when we started the show, I mean, you got some quarterbacks that all can play. It'll be interesting to see who comes out of it number one when their season begins.
So, Mike, where do you see the best fit for Rodgers? He just had that kind of off-the-cuff comment, not going to San Fran. How do you see it playing out with him?
That's a great question because, you know, he's got the West Coast ties. He came out of he's from Northern California up there, so you'd think he'd want to go home for a little bit, but he's been in Green Bay for all these years. He's had such a great career. You know, look, the best fit for him is naturally going to be a team that's got a good defense because he's a phenomenal quarterback. Now, this year he didn't play that way, but, you know, he was a little bit like Russell at Denver. In my eyes, I kind of saw two guys that didn't play with the same fire and competitiveness that they once had, and I don't know what that was due to. And I thought that was the same thing with Aaron at Green Bay. It just looked like he wasn't playing hard all the time. Matter of fact, the one game he did play hard was going against Mike McCarthy at Dallas when he beat the Cowboys, and he was playing like his own self. So it kind of, to me, it proved what I was thinking about him from the standpoint that he's still a great player. He just wasn't motivated for some reason. So whoever gets him, if they can motivate him, you know, that's the whole key because he's talented.
You mentioned Russell Wilson. It could not have been a bigger disaster for him this season, his inaugural year in Denver. But now he's got Sean Payton coming in, and Payton's a great coach. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Do you think Payton can push the right buttons to get Russell Wilson going again, and do you think Denver can be a competitive team next year?
Well, if Russell gets going, they will be competitive, no question, because they had a good defense this year, and I would expect that to stay the same. But offensively, Russell wasn't himself. As I was saying, Aaron Rodgers wasn't either, but Russell just wasn't himself. And I don't think he was himself the last couple of years up in Seattle, and I think that's why they let him go. Why that is he's not himself, I don't know. You know, look at things happen for these guys off the field too. There's, you know, they've all got families and they've got things going on. Personally, my guess would be when I watch him play, I think he has a lot of distractions off the field because he doesn't play like himself. It doesn't look like he's put in the time to do what he normally does. And he certainly didn't have the support of his teammates that he once had in Seattle even. But even the last 2 years in Seattle, I think things really fell off for some reason. So whatever it is about him, it's been a few years since he's really been the Russell that we all know can really play the game well.
Mike, Super Bowl next weekend. If both quarterbacks, they're obviously neither of them are healthy. If they are both 100%, who would you like in the game?
Boy, I tell you, if they're both 100%, well, there's no question. Patrick Mahomes, if they were all both 100%. Now, I do like the guy at Philly. I mean, he's done a great job, and he's really matured each and every year. From the time he was a rookie, when he was just picking one guy out, and if he wasn't open, he was running. I mean, now he's the complete deal. He's doing an exceptional job. You know, but he's got a heck of a surrounding cast. Well, both quarterbacks really do have a great surrounding cast. I just love that O-line from Philadelphia, though. I think they really make a difference in the game because their running game is so strong because of it. So, again, if Mahomes was 100%, I would give them the slight edge. But since he's not, personally, I think Philly's got the edge.
You mentioned the O-line. What about the defense? Who do you think has a better defense?
I would say this year, I think Philadelphia's got the better defense. I think they've really stopped some good opponents and consistently. The Kansas City's defense is a good defense, very good. They disrupt the ball a lot. I think that's what they kind of rely on, is disrupting the quarterback, and disrupting the ball, whether it's batted balls, interceptions, takeaways, things like that. That's been kind of traditionally what they've been over the years with Spags. Spags has got a really good mind for football. I think he does a lot of things. So he throws a lot at offenses that I don't believe Philly will throw some things at you, but not quite as much as Kansas City does. That doesn't make you a better defense. It just makes you a different kind of defense. I would in this game, I would kind of give the edge to Philly's defense as well. So that's why I kind of picked them to be the team in this one.
We're chatting with Mike Nolan, former NFL coach, NFL Network analyst. Because of how much talent is on both sides of the ball in Philly, it seems to me that Nick Sirianni, their coach, is not getting enough love. Also, they beat the Giants, and then they beat the Niners on a fifth-string quarterback. So it was an easier route to the Super Bowl, but they can't control that. Do you think Sirianni, the fact that he's got them playing the way that he has, the fact that they're in a Super Bowl, how much more does he have to prove, in your opinion, Mike?
Well, I don't know if he has to prove much more. Nick has done an exceptional job. I was fortunate to coach with Nick down in San Diego back in 2015. He was an offensive assistant at that time. I think he was quarterback coach. But for Mike McCoy, who was the head coach at that time. But Nick has done an outstanding job there. I've been surprised by by how much success he's had so fast, only because, they've really been good for a couple of years. So, but as you already stated, and I think it's very true, I mean, they really have a strong roster. They've put together quite a football team, and the maturation of the quarterback has really elevated their game on offense. This year, their defense has really come together, and I think this is the same coordinator they've had for 2 years, but I'm not, you guys might know that better than I do. I'm going to guess that he has been there at least the 2 years with Nick, but, they've played exceptionally well on defense as well. Their team is really a strong team, and as all good football teams are, it starts with the personnel and then goes to the coaches. And in this case, I think Nick deserves credit, but he's got one heck of a football team that he gets to go onto games on Sunday with.
Mike, can you speak about the prep going into the Super Bowl? It's legendary talk about how coaches are at the facility at 5 in the morning or earlier, and they don't leave until late at night. When you've got the Super Bowl, are these guys just, like, locked up at the practice facility until, and, like, nothing is unseen? Like, every trick play, every single quality play the opposition makes? Can you just speak about the prep that goes into it?
Well, most of the teams will get their team ready this week as we speak right now. And then the following week, they just kind of polish the things because there's a lot of distractions and a lot of things that go on once they travel to the Super Bowl site. So they try to do a lot of that work this week. I think routines are so important for players and coaches that I don't know that anybody, for example, prepares any harder the week of the Super Bowl than they have the entire week, because every game is really meaningful. It's not like they've got, 60 games to play or whatever it might be. I mean, every game in the NFL is a really important football game. And obviously in the playoffs, that's even more so. But like I said, I think from a prep standpoint, guys kind of stay in their routine with what they've done. You do have more time to go through things, but sometimes that can be a killer, because if you try to go too far with things and try to cover everything that could possibly happen that you haven't done during the season, or should I say, if it's different from what you've done during the season, it'll throw some guys off. It's best just to continue to prep. Like, if you've made it to the Super Bowl, you've covered your bases every week for the most part, pretty doggone good. So that's why I would say that most teams will, the coaches might look through some old tape just to see if there's something that you know, they want to be prepared for in case it happens in the game. But I would say this, they'll prepare like they normally do, and the coaches may have some things on the back burner that if in the game something shows up that they saw in the film but didn't expose the players to because they thought, look, I don't think we'll see it, they'll already have a plan for it. So in other words, it would be one of those things where they might catch a player or two on the field, and when the guys come off, say, look, guys, we've already seen this. They did it against Chicago. Here's what we're going to do to defend it, and they kind of go over it. So the coaches could possibly go through some things and just put them on the side in case it occurs in the game. So they're prepared, but I don't think they would share – they won't share everything with the players because – It's just too. They don't need it, you know. Unless you really expect it to happen, it's not worth slowing. You'll slow your players down if you do that.
He is former NFL head coach, NFL Network analyst Mike Nolan. Great catching up with you, Mike. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. All the best to you.
You too. There's again Mike Nolan. It's interesting. Like, that's what football players say. Like, Luke's told us that a million times. Every week is a Super Bowl in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the importance of every game and the build-up.
Yeah,
you got a week. Like, and next week, it's a gong show. Like, if you're at the Super Bowl, there's so many things going on. You're getting pulled in so many different directions. See, Jerry Jones is doubling down on Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott and talking about giving Dak even more of an extension at some point, and more money and more commitment. And
why? How could you even be saying that? Like, it's lunacy.
Yeah. Because guaranteed, the overdrive of Dallas is asking the same questions that we're talking about, is why can you win with this guy? He's hearing noise out there, guaranteed.
And he's giving you an answer. He's like, I'm not doing anything.
Don't even go there.
McCarthy's coming back, Dak is coming back, and they could be here for years. Like, Jerry Jones has a reputation of being a gunslinger and a maverick. He's very loyal.
Pretty loyal, yeah.
Like, yeah, he had Jason Garrett as a head coach for a long time.
Right.
The clapper. Like, a lot of people were saying about Garrett, like, two years
in.
He
does spit and claps.
Yeah. He's got an awkward vibe, too, in that NBC studio, man.
The clapper.
The clapper. They just call him the clapper.
Yeah. Michael Lombardi told us that. He's like, he just claps and spits on the ground.
Yeah. And he was there for a long time.
Yeah.
So
he was.
Jones and Cowboys are going to be a good team. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think they'll be a good team. And,
yeah,
you know, the alternative might be you're an awful team, and Jones doesn't want that. Jones isn't a young guy, either.
Oh.
Like, Jerry Jones is not a young guy.
He looks really old.
Yeah,
he is.
He's in his 80s now, I think. Like, he's been around for a while. Like, he bought the team 35 years ago, and at that point, he must have been in his late 40s or 50s.
He's 80 years old right now.
He's 80.
80. He's grizzled.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Coming up, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.